This is a Crowd podcast.
A huge thank you to today's Patreon sponsor, Charlie Barker. Charlie, thank you so much. We are so, so grateful for your support. All patrons who are attending our live show on Friday, 3rd of March, I'm so excited, will have access to an exclusive post-show Q&A / after party with me and Laura.
Which is going to be so good. So if you want to come to that, make sure you join our Patreon before Friday, the 3rd of March. Membership starts from just £1 a week, and you'll also get access to ad-free and early episodes. Or you can also support the show by subscribing on Apple Podcasts. The links to all of those will be in the episode description.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself,
the podcast where we're all trying to love ourselves a little bit more.
Literally, I feel like my life at the minute is decorating, work, and cream eggs. That is my entire life.
The Holy Trinity.
Except I would really like to remove work from it. But literally, it's decorating and cream eggs right now. How about you?
Mini eggs, writing, and ooh, buddy. That's my life.
The actual Holy Trinity. Like, yeah. The one that we all want. Oh, that sounds fabulous. Oh, my, I miss you. I haven't seen you for forever.
I miss you too. It's been ages. We need to actually have a proper real life catch up scene.
I know. This is what happens when we record and we haven't spoken for like 4 days. Oh, my God. But we do have to catch up about something very fabulous.
We do. Oh, we do.
We do. There it is. There was a live on moment. We do.
We do. We need to talk about Lizzo at the Brits, don't we?
Mate, we need to talk about Lizzo at the Brits.
Wasn't she incredible?
I didn't watch it live. So the first I knew about it was when you were posting about it on Instagram.
Really?
And I was like, what happened? Oh, my goodness.
She did us proud, didn't she? I thought, like, she just has this confidence that she has without it being arrogant. So, like, even in did you notice that in one of the songs she was like, this is from my album, it's the greatest album of all time. If anyone else said it, it would come across as like narcissistic, almost like psychopathic. But she's just like, yeah, it's great. She says it was, she's so genuine. She's just, this is the thing about Lizzo, right? She's just good energy. She's good vibes. She's good people, isn't she?
Good vibes. And you can tell she's like a good person, but she's also a strong person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love that. And I love that in one of her posts that she did, so her hair and makeup, I know, like, not the most important thing that happened that day, but like her hair and makeup, her beauty was ridiculous. It was fabulous. It was perfect. And then she posted the next day to say something like, I can't get over how good I looked last night.
Yeah.
I'm like, we don't say that enough. There's some days that we all go out and we are feeling ourselves.
Yeah, it's true.
And obviously, like, we've kind of grown up to be like, I saw something on Instagram recently when it's like, oh, she loves herself, used to be such an insult. And now it's like total flex if you actually love yourself.
It's true. It's hard though, isn't it? I think I would feel like I'd come across as really arrogant if I said that.
Yeah, and
I think,
but
to be honest,
why?
Other people would, but I don't know what, it's just something about her.
Yeah,
also,
she's
I'm going to need that pink dress in my life with the big head thing.
With the big feather thing, yes. And all of her dancers as well.
Yeah.
They just rocked it. And I have either not seen or I've chosen not to see, and I'm not looking for it, any backlash on it. And I don't even want to mention if there is backlash, I don't fucking care. They're wrong. It was just incredible.
It really was.
It was wonderful to see.
I haven't seen really anything. I mean, maybe I'm just sort of naive to it, but I haven't seen any negativity. I think most people are just saying, like, this is Lizzo's era and we're just living in it. But I mean, going back to her dances quickly, I mean, we watched it live. I'm like a big, I've always watched the Brits. Like, it's been like a thing for me, like, since I was a teenager. Like, I always watch it live. And like, one day I'll get a ticket. Anyway, sit next to Harry Styles and then we'll get married. And
oh my God, I will die.
Anyway. But no, watching it, and I was just smiling from ear to ear, and Matt was like, look at you, look at your face. And I was like, aww. What? And I just said to him, I just can't help but wonder, like, what a difference it would have made if I'd have seen this kind of representation growing up, not just Lizzo, but all of her dancers. And I felt really emotional, genuinely watching it. And even Matt went, same.
Stop.
And Matt was really lovely. And he said, no, you are, like, normally, like, he kind of, Matt will do this thing where he will always just, like, he'll say something like diet culture to wind me up, and then he'll go, triggered. And then, like, so he'll, like, jokingly be like, I can't eat this food because it's bad food. And then that'll make me a bad person. And I'm not, like, and I'm like, and I just look at him like, you're not funny. Cause like, he knows all this stuff now.
Yeah.
Anyway. And the fact that he was like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
That's so good.
Yeah. Go Lizzo.
We always, you know, we say on this podcast a lot that it's 2 steps forwards, 5 steps back, but that does really feel like a step forward, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And like, that's amazing. amazing. But it's not just even about her being bigger. It is about her being a black artist, a rapper first, an amazing singer, an amazing dancer, like an incredible businesswoman. All of those things are happening. Like, yes, she's big and that's amazing for that representation. But girl can sing. I don't know how she does it. Like, she just, and she, it seems so effortless. Mm. And she plays the flute.
And then there's this sort of funny, and it's kind of lucky that it coincides with this episode, actually, is that when we think about movement and exercise, we think about people being in smaller bodies and fitness being an aesthetic. I am telling you that I bet half the skinny people could not do what she does and sing at the same time and then play the flute.
I think, do you know what? It's so true. Like, Lizzo is an example of weight does not equal health.
Yeah, and it makes you realise as well that I think often we think of weight being the only measure of health, and I think that's wrong, because I think when we think about health, we need to think about sleep, we need to think about stress, about mental health, how many times you go to the toilet a day. Just that assumption that you can look at someone and go, they're unhealthy. Well, actually you can't. I actually think, look at Lizzo and think that she looks very healthy. I don't know if that's her vegan lifestyle or the exercise or what.
Oh gosh, I can't commit.
I cannot commit to that level. But thank you, Lizzo, for being the representation that we needed.
Skincare can be such a good form of self-care, but it can get complicated very quickly. So a big thank you to Skin & Me for supporting this episode and giving us a great discount code.
You all know how much I love Skin & Me. They just make skincare easy. You don't need like 12 products to put on your face of an evening. And I am here for that, basically. They deliver personalized treatments to meet your unique skin goals. So you tell them the kind of area that you maybe want to improve on, whether it's pigmentation or acne scarring or acne. And all you have to do is take a quick online consultation, share some selfies, and then you get a bespoke monthly skincare treatment that's full of powerful active ingredients.
And Laura, what is your favorite product, would you say?
The Daily Doser. I love it because it's completely tailored to you. I also love the fact that you just twist and click, and when it clicks, you know that you've got the exact amount you need. And I really love the fact that it's an affordable price point as well. It just feels really easy and accessible.
So if you'd like to try Skin & Me, we've got a really good deal for you. You can actually get your first month for just a £3.50 pharmacy fee by using code LOVE at the checkout. So that's L-O-V-E to get your first month for £3.50 instead of the usual $24.99.
So today we're going to be chatting all about movement and our relationship with movement and how we've been trying to kind of improve that. So obviously we're going to be talking, as we always do, about our experiences, but I think it's important that we just recognise that everyone's experience will be different. So some people have chronic illness, disabilities, injuries, or even mental illness that will stop them from movement or exercise. So I think for us, it's just really about like acknowledging that and kind of acknowledging our privilege as we kind of go into this episode. But I'm really excited for today because I think I'm going to use the word, we've both been on a bit of a journey with in terms of movement and exercise. Would you say that's fair, Lauren?
I would say that's very fair. We both have feelings about exercise and the fact I don't even use the word exercise. I use the word movement now because exercise just fills me with dread, to be honest. So, Laura Adlington, tell us a little bit about your kind of vibe with exercise, with movement, with all of it, like what it was like for you as a kid in your 20s and what it's like for you now.
So growing up, hated it. I remember, I think I've told you this before, but I used to scream child line when I was running around around the field at school PE. Always associated exercise with punishment. And then when I was in my very kind of diet culture yo-yo phase of dieting, I would use it for punishment. But I like, this is my, like, this sums up my relationship with exercise. I remember at uni doing a workout video on YouTube, quitting halfway through and having a Mars bar and going, oh well, because I was like, this is not fun for me, like I just don't enjoy it. I've never ever really found any kind of form of movement that I like other than like swimming and dancing around my kitchen. I kind of always felt like my body wasn't right for exercise. Like I remember joining a gymnastics class and was like, my body is not right for this. And that's kind of strange when you grow up feeling like that. Now it's strange. I mean, I still have this sort of, I wouldn't say even love-hate relationship with exercise. I just fucking hate it. as in the thought of going to the gym pains me, right? But today, the day that we're recording this, it is a beautiful day. Like, it's really lovely. Glorious. I've just taken Buddy out for, he gets like nearly an hour walk pretty much every day. And I'll be honest with you, the thought of it, a lot of the time, especially when it's raining or it's cold, I dread it. And I'm like, oh, I'm fucking having this dog, I've got to get it out. But I do feel better when I've just done it, and I do feel good for it, especially now the sun's shining, so that's nice. And we walk past the lake near me, and as you know, in fact, my Moana here, she loves a little bit of the water, so I might even go swimming tomorrow. And again, it's not for me about burning calories, it's like it just makes me feel good. When I'm in I could cry, like, you know the feeling you get, right, when you go to the theatre and the overture starts and the curtains
open?
Yeah,
no, I don't even, that. Is that your feeling for
that's
swimming?
That's kind of how I get when I literally go in the water. I'm like, oh, yeah,
that's
truly.
That's so nice.
So I'm trying to focus more on that. And I do think I've gotten a bit fitter having Buddy, so that's really helped. And that's kind of obviously been a bit, like, accidental. It's not really the reason why we got a dog. But, yeah, I would say it's complex. I'd still say that it's a work in progress. I definitely am not, like, sitting here going, like, oh, I'm cured. I love exercising now. Oh, give me those endorphins. No, like, I think I probably will always be one of those people that have to kind of force myself to move. Because should I move, should I walk, or should I take a taxi? I'm going to take a taxi or an Uber. Lauren, on the other hand, you will always walk.
Hell yes.
So what about you?
I will always walk, but I still fucking hate exercise. I just cannot. The thought of, I'm jealous. I am very jealous of all the people out there who can find the gym entertaining outside of a class, like can go there and do their workouts and do their circuits by themselves or go with trainers and stuff like that. I don't find that remotely, not at 0% fun. Like cleaning. I fucking hate cleaning. Why do I have to do it all the time? 0% fun. Cleaning is the gym for me.
Really?
I just don't find it fun. And I wasn't a particularly sporty kid either, so it's not like I've got that in my bones. I did do dancing for a while. Hated PE. Yeah, literally was in like the B group of everything. I'm not a sporty person, not an active person at all. And then as you get older, yeah, you start going to the gym because you think that's what you're meant to do. And I remember one of my most vivid memories of going to the gym, and I think about it every single time I talk about or think about the gym, is being on like the cross trainer, being like a size 12 at the time, and like being in a new relationship and just being like, I've got to sweat it out. He's, you know, I've got to give this guy the body that, you know, he deserves and all that kind of shit. I was like, come on, love. Stop it now. Do you know what I mean? Like working out so that someone I was dating could feel like he deserved. Oh, messy. So yeah, I don't like it. And then it was really genuinely the episode that we did with Tally Rye last year, and like in the research for that episode and listening to her podcast and stuff like that, of her kind of saying for the first time, hey, you don't have to hate exercise. You can do movement in different ways. You don't have to hate it. It also doesn't have to be for weight loss. It can just be for your mental well-being as well. And I was like, light bulb. Like, no one had said that before. No. It was all just what exercise and movement was for weight loss and weight loss only. And it was revolutionary. But, you know, all that is to say, I think I still have a messy situation with it. I don't, you know, I don't go on a lot of walks, especially in the winter. I'm not going outside when it's dark. I'd like to get myself into a routine of it being in my life a bit more and enjoying it a little bit more. But I find that difficult still. But I have officially started to try things now.
Have you?
I have. So when we've done the episode with Tally, and any time I've thought about any movement and stuff, it's always been dance that I've wanted to do. And I just thought the idea of, I love music so much, and and you know your feeling of, you know, that overture in a musical and stuff. I have out of body experience when I go to musicals and stuff, and when I listen to really good music in the car, and like, oh, I just love it. And there's nothing that can get you feeling good like music can, in my opinion. And so just dancing along to that and moving your body in that way, I think is like the most fun. So that's how I see me getting exercise into my life in a way that I will enjoy. So I have been trying some dance stuff online, and I wanted to do it in preparation of this episode to try it, but also then talk about it a little bit during this episode. But I also recorded some voice notes.
Oh, amazing.
Of me before and after a couple of the sessions, just to kind of be really genuinely honest about trying to get movement into my life of somebody that, you know, it doesn't come natural to me and I don't particularly enjoy all these things. So enjoy me being a little bit out of breath in these voice notes. Okay, so I just finished work. I had a really long day. I'm feeling pretty stressed out, a little bit overwhelmed. The thing that I want to do is I want to curl up in my bed and go to sleep. But I'm going to try another online dance class because I'm really hoping that might make me feel like a little bit better. I wasn't able to get out for a walk today, so
I'm going to try a dance class and I'm going to hope that it's going to make me feel a little bit better. So I will report back. I'm a bit knackered, but I did it. It was a 15-minute one and I probably did about half with her. And other than that, I just kind of danced on the spot when I was feeling a bit like, I'm going to fucking die. However, I did it and it's good. And I feel buzzy. I feel a little bit buzzy. I am waiting for the endorphins to kick in. But I feel good and I did it and I had fun. How many years did I spend going to the gym not having fun? So that's good. Okay. I did it.
You enjoyed them. I did. You'll be shocked to hear I did two classes that were dancing along to musicals.
Oh, amazing. Oh, it was so fantastic. Fun.
It was so much fun. I did one dancing along to Anne Juliet, which is one of my favourite new musicals.
Yeah, you love that one, don't you?
You would hate it.
I know. I knew. Yeah,
yeah. You would. It's a proper like jukebox musical.
Jukebox musicals.
Yeah.
Did you like Moulin Rouge?
I haven't seen it. I like the film though.
I swear you've seen it.
No, I've not seen it. I need to go.
No, then stop. Yeah, you do need to see it, but you'd hate 90% of it in that great. Case. So yeah, Anne Juliet. So I'm just like dancing along to basically Britney. Oh, babe. I was living my best life. And then the other one was to Mamma Mia. Again, another musical we hate and I love. And it was just dancing along to ABBA for like 20 minutes.
Oh, brilliant. So did you actually enjoy them? Would you do them again?
I will be honest. I don't think I enjoyed them as much as I want to. But I think I'm putting the pressure on because I really want so much to have movement in my life because I don't feel very like physically fit.
Mm.
Not terrible, like, but I want so much to have it in my life, but I'm not sure that's it. And I think, to be honest, I'm such an extrovert, Laura. I don't even know.
Are you really? I have no idea.
Just a little bit. That I think I would benefit more from doing them in person than I would just online.
Yes.
So
I wondered that.
Yeah, I've sent Stacey a couple, actually. There's loads in London, so I've put them all in my inner highlights on my Instagram page if anyone wants to look at some of these classes and stuff. But there's lots of really inclusive classes that happen that it's just, you know, you don't have to do things perfectly. Just move your body and come along and join in and, like, you know, the other women there are hyping you up and all that kind of stuff. And I just think that's so nice. So my mission is in the next few weeks to try something in person. And I think that will be like, ha-ha, this is it. This is how I get it into my life. I think that's how it's going to go.
I love that. I love the honesty as well. Like, I think it's, you know, I think it's important for us to be honest because, well, that's all we ever can do, talk about our own experiences. But I'm sure it will resonate, hopefully anyway, with those of you listening. It's interesting as well, you were talking about Tali Rye. And I've been reading her book, Train Happy. I'd really recommend it for anyone who, a bit like us, is kind of like struggling with movement and not seeing it as like a punishment. And in the book, actually, she was saying that when we have spent so long in the kind of diet culture phase of like thinking about food and exercise as like punishment, then it's kind of like we're on like a pendulum. So like on that one end of the extreme pendulum where we were like restricting ourselves potentially with our eating, we're exercising for like not for like the kind of the good reasons as such, then what happens is we sometimes swing right to the other way and we end up on this kind of like the fuck it end of the pendulum, which is like where you're like, I want to eat all the pizzas and I'm not going to move, I'm going to stay on the couch, almost as like a kind of a bit of rebellion to being on the other end of the pendulum. And obviously what she was saying is that like in the middle of that pendulum is kind of where you have a healthy balance of where like you enjoy your food is for like for pleasure as well as like nutritional reasons. But what she was saying, and this is the bit that really stuck with me, is that you can't get to the middle without going to the other end of the fuck it phase first. So I have been in, I definitely feel like
so we're both in fuck it for years, mate.
I've been in the fuck it phase for like 2 or 3 years since doing this podcast, since doing all the research around diet culture and all of that. And I'm like, that is so interesting to me. But she was saying you have to go through it. It's a really important phase. So that made me kind of, it gave me a little bit of a feeling of like not to beat myself up so much. So I'm sharing it in the hope that it also makes our lovely listeners feel the same as well. I thought it was just a really good analogy. And also I think it's important to realise that like that kind of perfect place in the middle of the pendulum. Like, at some point, it's probably going to swing either way sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, everyone talks about balance and everything in moderation. But I do think that, you know, that that should be kind of our goal, really, is to kind of strive for, like, well-rounded health. And like I said right at the top of the episode, like, I don't mean just with our diets, as in what we eat, but overall wellness, health, sleep, stress, like,
everything,
all of it.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking and you were saying, like, health and stuff, I feel like, I don't know whether to me at the minute, like, health's a bit loaded, because for me it's just having these years and years of it, and now even at the minute trying to, like, debunk it all in my head and on Instagram and on the podcast and stuff, and it's like, there's so much about health out there that it is about your weight and appearance and all that kind of stuff, and we're obviously trying to rebel it a little bit, and then as part of that, sometimes I feel like I do myself a disservice by then also not really not eat. I'm the fuck it, I'm over in the fuck mm-hmm. it so heavily of mm-hmm. like, you know, I have not gone out for a walk this year, like, do you know what I mean? I have not, and for months last year and all that kind of stuff, and it's all very loaded in there. But you're so right. It's just, I want to look after my health because I want to look after my health. But my health is also making sure I get some sleep. And then I love going out for walks. Love listening to a history podcast when I go out for a walk. It's the best time ever. Just do that. Lots of movement and all those kind of things. And seeing friends and all of it. Yeah. Oh, God, this is inspiring me a little bit. I think we just need to take care of ourselves a little bit better.
I think, you know what, like I said, it's, you might be in the, like, more of the fuck it phase at the moment, and that's okay. Like, be kinder to yourself. You know, it is about finding things that do bring you joy. Like, if you hate the gym, don't go. You don't need to go to the gym. That is not the only form of exercise that you can get. I fucking hate the gym. I love swimming, so I'm, like, really excited for, like, a bit of warmer weather. I'm gonna go swim, get me in that lake, girl. But you love dancing, you love, like, movement, and
yeah.
I know you hate cleaning, but, like, even if you were, like, to put on a musical theatre soundtrack and just dance a bit around your
it
living room,
it makes life better. Yeah, I'm doing, I'm listening to it while decorating
it
as
still
well
counts.
So
it still counts. Yeah. I think we've been conditioned to think of, like, exercise as well. It was like, you know, like, on a scale of, like, 1 to 6, if we don't get to 6 where we're, like, out of breath, we feel sick, we're on the floor,
yeah.
then we don't feel like we've done it properly. And that is wrong. That is so wrong, because you can get to a 2 or 3 and it's still good for you. Surely it's better than sitting on the sofa doing nothing, although rest obviously still important. You know, we don't need to think that exercise means literally sweating until we drop down dead. That, for me, is not a successful workout. And that isn't particularly healthy. But I think sometimes we've kind of been conditioned to think that. For people that want to do that, and people that love, say, like, running or, like, something, like, not that running is extreme, but I mean something that is very physically tiring, they might get their kicks from that. But, like, you do you. Like, I think exercise is really individual, and I think it is about finding things that do bring you joy and are also sustainable, because that's the thing as well, isn't it? Like, we talk all the time about diets not being sustainable, because we go in with this mentality of, like, right, this is it, law of aversion 2.0, I can't believe I'm such a fat bastard, I'm never going to eat sweets and sugar again, and I feel so great for it. And then by, like, Wednesday, Thursday, like, the following week, you're like, oh, can't do it. And I think it's the same with exercise. So I think if you can kind of do things that are, like, slow and steady wins the race, things that you can kind of work into your everyday life that are not going to feel like this massive hurdle. Like, if I said to you, right, Lauren, you have to go and do 3 workouts at the gym every week, you're going to be like, you're going to tell me to piss off.
I would tell you to fight yourself. Yes, I would. You're so right. Any movement is good. If it's a 10-minute walk around the block that gets you out of the house, that's still good, because you're going to feel better for it.
Mm.
Yeah, you're so right. It's about being sustainable. It's about working it into your life in a way that, one, obviously you can afford if it's something that you're paying for, but time-wise as well, if you're time poor as well, just trying to work something out. But then also catching yourself a break. You know, Tally says you should give yourself unconditional permission to rest. So if you don't go and move for a week, that's fine. You needed that. Mm. But then, you know, when you're ready, crack on.
Yeah. It's also interesting what you said there about, you know, being a luxury. And I think it's really important that we touch on that. Gym membership, if you do like the gym, I did like the classes, I've said swimming, but it is so expensive, and it is, I think, really inaccessible for so many people, especially now we're in the cost of living crisis. It is such a luxury. And if you have to choose between putting food on the table and heating your house and going to the gym, well, that's probably going to be the first thing to go. The government will often, like, do incentives, like offer subsidised sort of gym membership and things like that. The problem with that is that what you'll get is that they don't have the time to go to the gym, because they're often, like, they're working, like, 2 jobs. So you'll get people that will come out of area who are not wealthy but can afford gym memberships, just making the most of it. It doesn't work. There are a lot of barriers to exercise as well, like not just socioeconomic reasons but also like accessibility reasons. So some people have chronic illnesses, some people have disabilities. Exercise is a lot harder for those people, and I think that we just assume that when we say things like, oh, let's move more, well, actually that's quite a lazy assumption, isn't it, for people that don't really have access or don't have the options that other people do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Again, you know, if you don't have those options or if things are closed off for you for whatever reason, it can then make your self-esteem go, you know, it can make you feel a bit shit if you can't do it. And then there's this whole world that's telling you must exercise all the time and all of this stuff. It's just not nice. I think, yeah, like anything we say on this podcast and anything that's kind of mentioned in the body confidence movements and all of this stuff is really just showing yourself kindness. And the most important thing is your health and happiness. And like Laura said, it's all round health and happiness. It's not just, you know, sticking on a pair of size 12 jeans, tick, tick, boom, see you later, bye. There should be parity of healthcare, right? There should be, there is the same of your physical and mental health. Look after both. And it's just great that we know it's scientifically proven that movement and exercise will also support your mental well-being, but sometimes it's just not possible for whatever reason. But for those of you that are a little bit like me and Laura who want to get it into your lives more, I guess it's just about taking those steps and trying to make it work. So, you know, after this, I feel a bit more jazzed about it right now. I am going to start to go out for, you know, more walks and stuff while I'm working. I'm working from home pretty much every day at the minute. If I've got plans in the evenings, I don't go out. Do not go outside the house. I must go outside. I must be like, sorry, can't come to the 75th meeting of the day. Have to go outside, please.
No, but you should though. Like you should put like, I used to do that when I was working in the office. I would bookmark like my lunch out and like put lunchtime walk in so that people didn't book meetings over it.
Yeah.
No, okay.
No, would like to, but again, it's one of those things, people with different jobs or whatever, it's not possible. So just try and get it in when you can. I know that back in lockdown one, remember that? I was trying to get like 10,000 steps a day and I would just go when I could. If I had a gap between meetings between, you know, 3 and 4, I'd go then. And also walking's free. It's another thing that's
true.
Free.
Yeah.
And you can do it with people as well. Go and grab a mate. Have a walk with your mum.
Yeah.
Go and have a lovely time.
It can be a social thing as well. Interestingly, about that 10,000 steps thing, did you know that was completely made up? Because it sounded
nice. I assume
so.
Did a man make it up? Probably. Yeah. Like
I should have done more research on this, but it just, when you said that, it made me like click. They basically did it as a marketing tool because it sounds like it's a nice round number of 10,000 steps.
Oh,
so I remember like you, and I remember that I got a Fitbit when they were all the rage, and I can remember sitting on the sofa in my flat, right, waving my arm up and down because I was like, must hit 10,000 steps.
Literally pointless.
But actually, scientifically, they said that like 5,000 to 6,000 is actually optimum. Like, as in, like, you will you'll feel the same benefit as if you did 10,000.
Okay.
So Basically, just another marketing ploy.
Just go on a little walk, move your body, do the cleaning, do the painting, go shopping,
because anything
whatever.
Anything counts, doesn't it? Anything counts as movement.
Anything and everything counts.
And the other thing I wanted to touch upon as well is that, you know, we talk a lot about, like, you know, the goal is health, and it is. But also, if you aren't healthy, as in if you can't walk up the stairs or you can't go for a walk or you have chronic illness or anything like that, that doesn't mean that you don't deserve respect. And again, that goes back to respecting and loving yourself, but also from other people. And I think it's important, like, we've shifted the focus, we certainly have, from like weight to health, but that doesn't mean that, like, if you're not healthy, then you're not kind of like worthy of a good life, nice things and whatever.
No.
So I think I just wanted to kind of caveat that as well. So Lauren and I both know firsthand how hard it can be to find inclusive spaces for movement, which is why we were very excited when we got an email from Christina, who runs a virtual yoga studio and who's going to be sponsoring some of our episodes, including this one.
And we have got Christina on the episode today and she's here. Hi, Christina. It's so lovely to meet you.
Hi, guys. Lovely to meet you too. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the support of the show. And we wanted to make sure we had a chat with you because, like Laura said, it's so important that these exercise spaces are inclusive for everybody. And so we want to chat to you a little bit about how you've created that and demystify some of the stuff about yoga classes, and we're going to talk a little bit about it. But first, do you want to let us know how you started with it all and how Virtual Yoga Studio came to be?
Yeah, sure. Well, I actually started doing yoga and Pilates when I was 14, and actually it was because I fractured my spine. Shortly after that, they were kind of going like, we just you're just not getting any better and we can't really work out why. And I'd always been sort of very sporty and healthy, played a lot of hockey as a kid. And I started doing yoga and Pilates, and I went from basically having to lie on the floor every day of my life to being able to pretty much run up the stairs in 6 weeks. And so I know it sounds crazy, but like I basically then I that started off this idea of exercise movement can heal and it can help in rehabilitation. And it really broadened my definition of exercise, because before I was very much into competitive sport and that's what I liked. But I know there's a lot of people that maybe that doesn't resonate with, but it just broadened out that definition. And that's definitely something that I'm really passionate about now, because I think everybody is so dialed in on weight loss. They feel like they've kind of hijacked the exercise agenda. So with Virtual Yoga Studio, the idea was that it was for everybody, that it's really inclusive, because I know that sometimes people that are in bigger bodies, that going to a traditional gym doesn't really work very well for them. They either feel really kind of scrutinized and judged, or it just doesn't feel like a safe space. That came about really the idea of like exercising at home. So it was something that started quite a bit before lockdown. Like we were trying to make something where it was like an optimum amount of exercise. So about 30 minutes is considered optimum. It doesn't have to be this big endless kind of thing. And just enough to focus on making your body feel good in order that you have a better outlook for your day. And that's kind of what I'm trying to achieve with it. It's more of like a mood enhancing kind of yoga rather than, you know, I've got to be size 8 by tomorrow.
I love that.
There's tons of different types of yoga. So again, the Weight Loss Brigade have not stopped in traditional exercise. They've invaded every area of our space. And so I'm seeing more, I know, I'm seeing more and more of this kind of more is more exercise, particularly in yoga. And they've used loads of Western ideals of like, right, I've got to get your heart rate up. I need to turn you upside down. Go faster. Do this, do that. And it is just, some people love that and that's great. But like for me, it feels a little hectic. And I've definitely been in vinyasa flow classes and Ashtanga classes where I've definitely been A, out of my depth, B, massively behind what everybody else is doing. I've literally just hit the line of the pose and they're already in the next one. I'm like, oh my God, this is frantic. And that's like the opposite of what it's supposed to be. Like the idea is you're supposed to be, for me anyway, that you're in the pose and then you're breathing in the pose and just seeing what comes up. And for me, I found it massively helpful in dealing with trapped emotional problems that I've had. And I've even had sessions, it's quite common, actually many teachers will say this to you, where I've suddenly inexplicably felt really angry in the middle of the class or burst into tears or similar.
Lots of people say that.
It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And I think that's brilliant because you're releasing something that you didn't realize was there. So that can be like that. Yeah. I typically teach what I would call hatha yoga, and that tends to be a bit more gentle, but there's even softer touch stuff like that. So we also do teach yin yoga, which is wicked because basically you just lie in the pose with loads of props. It's like basically like having a sleepover.
That sounds ideal, to be honest with you.
This is wild to me. Do you know what I mean? Like the fact that you could go and, you know, therapy is fantastic. Sometimes it's not accessible for everybody, but this sounds like it could be a form of that to get stuff out of you. Like, I think that's I'd never thought of that, never knew that, never realised that. That's made me absolutely want to try it.
Can you tell like any of our listeners that like thinking about signing up or want to look into it, what do they need to bring anything? Do they need to have kind of a certain like entry level knowledge of yoga, or can they come as a complete beginner?
Not at all. You can come as a complete beginner. It is a little bit like you do have to just try and follow along. But like you're saying, if you come with an open sort of mind, no one can see you.
True.
But yeah, I just kind of think people nowadays, all I see, and this is my really big thing or massive bugbear, is like it's yoga for Instagram, is just like either overtly sexual in nature or extremely skimpily clad girls that have always been hypermobile. And I think that they think it's aspirational. But when I look at it, I'm like, dude, you've always been able to do that. There is nothing impressive about what you're doing. And actually, to be perfectly honest, if you were in my class, you look like you're hypermobile and I would tell you to stop. Like, there's an optimum range in poses. It's not more is more. There is a point at which you are actually over flexible and you will hurt yourself.
That's so interesting because it kind of goes against everything that we're taught and that we're shown, isn't it? About like fitness being an aesthetic. And I think that's the thing that I really like about yoga and about what you're doing is that it just feels a lot more accessible. Because I think as well, the other kind of like barrier point is that like fitness wise, if you are like me and Oren, I think, trying to kind of get into fitness, but thinking like, where do I start? I'm maybe not that fit. It seems like such a good way to get into it without kind of, like you say, fainting and being sick and all the things that we were taught on The Biggest Loser that we had to do in order to get anything out of exercise. It's just not true.
If I could go back in time, I would have that show removed. It's so damaging.
Do you know how many hours I spent doing the Jillian Michaels DVD as well? And it was literally like, you know, she wants you to be sick. I've got, I don't have it anymore, but it's like, it was a thing, wasn't it? 30-day shred or something like that. Wild. But you mentioned flexibility. Obviously, I think there's this big thing, and I know that a bunch of our listeners now will be like, yes, this yoga. It's very sort of, when you think of it very basically, it's legs in the air and the downward dog and you're bending over and you're touching your toes and stuff like that. And there's a lot of people who can't do that. So is that a barrier for your classes? Do you need that flexibility or does it just not matter?
Not at all. But the really big thing is it's not about what you can do, it's how it feels to you personally whilst you're doing it. It's connection with the self, like it actually means union, like the unity of body and mind. And so actually for me, you know, getting into a stress about, oh God, like I can't do this and everybody else can do it. The idea is not about that. It's to be able to be in the pose and breathe through it. And it always improves. I mean, I see people all the time where you just think, you know, I've had so many life lessons around watching people where I think, oh, I don't know whether that's going to go because that might just be your architecture. And sure enough, 6 weeks later, they're there.
Oh my God, I just think that's so nice. And it's so refreshing to hear that from an instructor. You've got no idea, genuinely.
Well, for me, proper yoga, the focus is on the internal, not the external. And actually, something I'd really, really like to get across to people is anytime I have had a plus size woman in my class, almost always they're one of the best ones.
Ooh.
There. Often plus size women are extremely strong. And to me, strength is a really, really big, important part of fitness. And it's often forgotten.
Christina, I think you're amazing. I absolutely love what you're doing. Thank you so much for chatting us through that. So if you'd like to try the virtual yoga studio, you can head to virtualyogastudio.com/love. That's virtualyogastudio.com/LOVE. And for £15, you'll get 3 months of access to daily classes that can be done at your own pace and from wherever you want.
It's time for a quick break so we can tell you all about Gusto. Gusto gives you everything you need to create incredible home-cooked meals, including the exact right portions of fresh, high-quality ingredients so you won't be wasting lots of food. I like cooking, but I'm not very good at it. And also living alone, choosing what to cook and getting all the ingredients and having to buy way too much of everything for just one person, it just really puts you off. So having Gusto is a great option. There is so much to choose from. They have over 250 recipes a month for you to try, including things like there's a 10-minute sticky Vietnamese-style pork, which sounds so good, a Welsh rarebit beef burger with whole grain mustard mayo and pickles, very fancy, and Japanese-style okonomiyaki pancakes with candied bacon just in time for Pancake Day. That sounds awesome, and I'm literally salivating at the thought of it. If you'd like to try the deal, head to gusto.co.uk and use code LOVE for 60% off your first box and 25% off all boxes for 2 months. We've had some questions from our lovely listeners about movement and exercise and everything like that. So, Laura, question one is, what's your biggest piece of advice for anyone who's struggling to get started?
I think, honestly, the hardest thing to do is to get started often. Like, because, I mean, it's easy now to have buddy, I must admit. Get a dog. Don't get a cockapoo, the nightmare. And like, I used to spend all day thinking, must go out for a walk. And then it was the dread of it. And then if I didn't do it, I felt like a really crappy person. Sometimes I think we build it up too much in our heads. Like, start small. 10-minute walk if you're up to that, if you can do that, or 10 minutes of any kind of like movement. There's some really good free like YouTube things if you don't want to go out. Loads of free stuff. There's also some really accessible videos as well. So like if you are in a wheelchair or you've got limited movement in either like your arms or your legs, there's a lot of like chair workouts that are free on YouTube as well. So I would just say like start small, and like, you know, Tally's the expert in this. Definitely follow Tally Ra on Instagram and get her book. But start small. Just find something that you do enjoy.
Hell yeah. And again, you know, you can be like me. You know, you can do it by yourself in your living room if you want. Or you can be like I'm going to next and invite a mate over and do it together and just be silly. However will make you most enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. Someone else has asked us, have you got any advice for days when you feel particularly self-conscious and unmotivated?
It's difficile because by my very nature, I'm quite unmotivated anyway. And you know what I've got to say? So those voice notes that I recorded and those sessions that I've done, I probably genuinely wouldn't have done them if I didn't know that I had to do them for this episode. And for that, I thank our producer, Fionn, because I did them and I loved it and I enjoyed it and I felt better afterwards and I felt good afterwards. But I don't know that I would have done them without that. Like, how long have I been saying I wanted to do stuff? So I'm with everyone who feels unmotivated. I get it. I feel it every single day. I feel like the most unmotivated person ever. And like Laura said a minute ago, getting started is the hardest part. But then, you know, it's one of these things, you know the outcome of it. You know that once you've done it, you're going to feel good for it. And when you start doing it a little bit more regularly, you're going to feel even better for it. Your brain's going to feel fabulous for it. Some days when you're feeling unmotivated, give yourself unconditional permission to rest if you need it. But sometimes just remember that you're going to feel better for it, or you're doing it for a reason, or, you know, grab a mate, grab your mum, grab a friend, who, you know, go and do it with somebody else if that's going to get you out and get them in on it as well. That would be my advice. But I just want to say I totally get the unmotivated thing. It rives my life.
But also, like, it's okay if you do have days like that. Like, you don't have to exercise every day, do you? Like,
no, of course not.
I think it's important not to beat ourselves up, because I actually think that's probably more dangerous, and you'll end up then more in the fuck it end of the pendulum.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
that is a lot of the time that is kind of on like the like, oh, like I've blown it now, blah blah blah. And then the self-conscious thing, I think that, and this is a lot easier said than done in terms of like money and just availability, but I think having nice things that like you can wear that are like nice and make you feel good and are comfortable is also really important. So I definitely say to like invest if you can in some gym wear. Georgia Asda's actually do some really good active wear up to a size, I think 26 28. I noticed that Two Clothing also
do. Supermarkets do active wear pretty well, don't they?
They're all right. I've got quite a few bits from ASOS Curve. Nike and Adidas, I have to say their leggings are phenomenal. I normally always wait until they're either in the sale or ASOS has 20% off because they're ridiculously expensive.
Oh, that's such a good
point. They're thick, they don't fall down, they're really comfy, they've got pockets.
They've got pockets?
A lot of them have pockets.
Love.
And that actually makes me feel like sometimes in the morning, like I'll put those on just for a dog walk, but it makes me kind of feel like I'm active, and then I move with a bit more of a swoosh around the house when I've got like active wear leggings on.
Yeah, you're so right. That's such an important thing. And then obviously, you know, we talk about then about flush size fashion, about what's available for us and all that kind of stuff. But if you've got the kit, and it doesn't have to be expensive, you can get like trainers and stuff from Primark or New Look or something like that, or the supermarkets again if you're doing stuff. So it doesn't hopefully have to be too expensive. Get yourself the kit because you deserve to do it in the kit that you want. And I literally wear leggings if I'm going out for a walk. I wear nothing else. So just a good pair of leggings, good old t-shirt, and then that hopefully might motivate you if you want to be. Okay, so the third question is, my relationship with exercise is very all or nothing. I'll get you, girl. When I get back into it, I go pretty intense, thinking, this is going to be it. My life has changed. But then it gets toxic for me and I go back to doing nothing. It makes me feel like a failure and I don't know what to do. Have you got any advice?
Honestly, I think that is such a common, like, universal feeling. It's hard because I think so often we've thought of exercise purely for, like, to be a certain weight or, like, for, like, aesthetic-based goals. And I think when you do, like, a lot of sort of learning about diet culture, you kind of naturally realize like how disillusioned we've been, but it is really hard. I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about being the kind of in the fuck it phase of the pendulum. So I think it's like actively working on rejecting that dark mentality of like must exercise continuously and restrict myself with food versus like not really moving at all and maybe not eating as kind of like nutritionally dense food. Honestly, I think it's really hard. I think it takes time. I think it's more common than we think. And I think that the key to it is just to have patience with yourself and kindness. Like it's temporary. And I think that we've all just got to try and like do our best and know that like eventually like things will hopefully settle down and you'll kind of get to like the middle and get to that happy medium.
I couldn't agree more. And I think this whole thing and everything that you and I both feel and people that listen to this is that it's can be a struggle for so many different reasons. And also you're not alone if it is a struggle, and you're not alone if you're sitting there on your sofa every night like beating yourself up about the fact you didn't go for a walk that day or didn't go to this class or didn't go spinning or whatever.
Yeah.
You're not alone in feeling that. Please don't beat yourself up about it. It's not the end of the world. But if you can try and find some form of movement, whatever that is, and that can be anything. It can be cleaning. It can be walking. It can be dancing. It can be swimming. It can be sex. It can be, I don't know any other form of movement at this time, riding a bike around the park, like all of these things. It can be literally anything. And know that it will only enhance your life.
Yeah.
It will help support your mental well-being.
And I think it's really important as well to remember like Rome wasn't built in a day. And it like it was not dismantled in a day either. So I do think that we need to give ourselves a bit more kind of like grace and compassion and go like, yeah, I'm like figuring this out still. And I want to get to a point where like things feel a bit more kind of like even. That also correlates with food stuff, doesn't it? So I think often, like sometimes I used to like go for exercise and then I'd be like, great, I can have a massive dinner now.
Yeah, it's that like morality of food, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really tricky. I think we should normalise that it's tricky. And just, as I say, I think give ourselves a bit of a break. Like let's not put too much pressure on ourselves. Move for joy if we can and try and do things that are sort of slow and steady and sustainable.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you ever want to get in touch with us, you can DM us on Instagram at goloveyourselfpod or you can email golove@crowdnetwork.co.uk.
We'll be back with a brand new episode next week. But if you want more from us in the meantime, you can check out our Facebook group, Go Love Yourself Community. You can also support the show by subscribing on Patreon or Apple Podcasts, where you can get ad-free and early episodes for just £1 a week, or you can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And finally, there are less than 2 weeks until our live show in London on Friday the 3rd of March. There are a few tickets left and the link to those will be in the episode description. We love you so much and we'll see you soon.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Hello, I'm La La La, Let Me Explain, and this is It's Not You, It's Them, but it might be you. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.